Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. It's Friday. It's Brunch with Bernie, Senator Bernie Sanders. I think of him as America's senator. And for our national weekly town hall meeting, you can get his newsletter and find out all kinds of information about what Bernie's up to over at sanders.senate.gov. Of course, our live chat room at tomhartman.com. Our Tom Vision is up and running over at airamerica.com. Bernie, you're there?
I am right here.
Ah, great. And sounding just fine. So, we're hearing all this strange, weird, wacky news out of the Senate about what's going on. What's going on?
Well, what's going on, Tom, is our country is facing a devastating economic crisis, a massive pain all over this country. You may have seen the reports today that unemployment is now up to 7.6%, and that's conservative because it really doesn't count people who have given up looking for work. It doesn't count people who are working part-time when they want to work full-time. Just in January, 598,000 fellow Americans lost their jobs. 11.6 million are now unemployed. So we are looking, from an economic perspective, at the most serious problems facing our country since the Great Depression. Then on top of that, Barack Obama inherited this financial disaster of failing financial institutions given to us by George W. Bush. So we've got some real problems. What's going on right now, and in fact, I think I'm going to be okay for this hour, but if not, don't think me rude. I'll be racing down to vote. We are in the middle of a stimulus package, and Republicans are playing a very obstructionist role, as they often do. As I think many of the listeners know, we need 60 votes to overcome a filibuster. At this point, I do not know that there is one Republican who has formally come on board. There's a group of Republicans and Democrats, moderate to conservative, who want to cut programs, which I strongly disagree with. We'll see what happens there. But number of amendments coming down the pike. But this is enormously important. What we're trying to do in this jobs bill is to invest in America, rebuild our infrastructure, create millions of good-paying jobs dealing with our crumbling bridges, our roads, our culverts, our water systems. So much work needs to be done, and we've delayed doing that for year after year. We can create a whole lot of jobs doing that. We can create jobs. And, you know, Tom, you have heard, and I have heard, our listeners have heard, for decades now, people talking about the stupidity of us continuing to be energy dependent on foreign countries, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you?
Sure.
You know,
Carter was the one who, well, actually Nixon talked about this, but Carter was the one who, you know, famously, you've heard the speech, the clip that I play on the air all the time, where he says, you know, the energy crisis is real and we're never again going to import more foreign oil than we did in 1974.
Well, obviously that turned out not to be accurate. We just imported last year, I think, something like $700 billion in oil, often from unfriendly authoritarian governments. So this stimulus package begins in a fairly significant way, saying that it is time to make our country energy efficient. It is time to weatherize millions of homes, schools, buildings, do that. It is time in a serious way to move towards sustainable energy like solar, wind, geothermal, biomass, etc. So it's serious. And in doing those things, we address longstanding problems and we create millions of good-paying jobs. Our Republican friends, after 8 years of their disastrous trickle-down economic theory, haven't given up yet, and they are resisting at every turn of the road. They want more and more tax breaks, which are not the kind of stimulus that investing in our economy would be. And we have a real logjam as we speak right now.
Yeah. You, by the way, you did a great job of presenting that on Chris Matthews' show the other day, Hardball. I'm curious, Bernie, your take. This is slightly off topic, but I think it circles around to it. Commerce is going to be at the center of an awful lot of this. The huge story in today's Financial Times about how countries all over the world are changing their trade policies, lickety-split, to try to recover their economies. Judd Gregg, he's a colleague of yours in the United States Senate. I'm still scratching my head as to why this guy was appointed, unless it was simply to pick up that 60th seat, in which case the Republicans really really got the Obama administration. What's going on? Do you know?
Tom, on my list of issues that I wanted to talk about, there it is, Judd Gregg.
Great.
So you beat me to the punch. Here's the story. I've known Judd Gregg for a number of years. He's on the budget committee with me. Judd is a intelligent, decent, non-malicious type guy who happens to be very, very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
He is one of the leading exponents of trickle-down economics in the United States Congress, believes in tax breaks for the rich, believes in cutting programs for low and moderate income people to move us toward a balanced budget, believes in unfettered free trade. So I share your concern as to why he was appointed if it did not result in the Democrats picking up another seat in New Hampshire, which apparently is not going to be the case. Furthermore, let me add insult to injury on this. What he has done is recused himself from voting on the stimulus package. Now, that makes zero sense to me at all, because here you have a guy who presumably is entering the administration in order to create a strong economy. That's what the Commerce Department gets involved in.
Right.
Here is Obama's major initiative to get our economy moving and create jobs and pull us out of a deep recession, and this guy's saying, well, you know, I'm not going to vote on it.
Right.
That bothers me. He should vote on it. He should get other Republicans to vote on it. So I'm not quite sure what's going on there.
Yeah, my guess is they thought that this would be a slick way of picking up that 60th seat, and the governor of New Hampshire pulled a Blagojevich on them.
No, yeah. I'm not quite sure. All right, but be that as it may, I have real concerns, A, about Judd's appointment to that position, being as conservative as he is, and second of all, I cannot believe that he is not voting for the stimulus package being part of the Obama team. The other point that I wanted to make is this morning and what's going on right now in the Senate, a lot of debate on the jobs bill, the stimulus bill. We have gotten a couple of amendments passed working with other senators. Number one, as I'm sure you know and your listeners know, I have been outraged, as the vast majority of the American people have been outraged, that while we're bailing out Wall Street and these huge financial institutions and these guys who have made zillions of dollars over the last 10 years, they continue to draw very large salaries and continue to get bonuses. And we introduced legislation in November to say that nobody who's receiving TARP funds, bailout funds from the taxpayers of this country, should earn a salary in a financial institution more than the President of the United States makes, which is $400,000. President Obama picked up on that point the other day, didn't go as far as I would like him to go, but at least sent a message to Wall Street that there has to be some shame, not a whole lot, about what they have done to the American people, and they can't continue to draw these huge salaries. So he made an executive order. We just passed an amendment yesterday that would limit executive pay to $400,000. Another amendment that I believe will be passed within a couple of hours, and I did this with Senator Grassley of Iowa. If you can believe this, at a time when unemployment is soaring, at a time when the financial institutions themselves have laid off about 100,000 American workers, do you know what these guys want to do? What they have applied for is over 20,000 H-1B visas,
right,
to enable them to hire foreign workers to replace the American workers who were laid off.
And on top of that, they're contracting with third parties who you know, you can double or triple that number, these contractors who are hiring H-1B visa folks who are then providing services to them.
Right. So what we have done is, working with Senator Grassley, we introduced, and it will pass, I believe, an amendment. We've got to make sure that it stays in the conference committee to simply stop that for a two-year period, that no that if you're laying off American workers, they have the first shot at this job, and you can't go abroad to replace them, which is just such an outrage.
Which is a jobs version of Buy American.
Yes, that's right. The last point that I want to make is as we try to deal with this growing recession and we try to prevent a depression, it is tremendously important that we understand how this financial disaster occurred and that we hold those people accountable who caused it. And I think it's not just the incredible greed on Wall Street. It is not just their recklessness in saying, hey, we only made 20% last year. I only got $100 million. Bailey can live on that. We've got to find out who these guys were. We've got to find out if there were illegal behavior as well.
Yeah. Amen. And nail them for it. By the way, Bernie is going to be in San Francisco on the 17th. Check it. Is that March 17th?
No, February.
February 17th. Thank you. You can find out more at green960.com. We'll be right back.
This is Tom Hartman.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, Nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hey, Valentine's Day is next week, but you don't need to stand in line for overpriced flowers. Instead, ProFlowers has an exclusive deal just for my listeners, but only when you click on the microphone and type in Hartman at ProFlowers.com. Get one dozen sweet expressions roses for only $39.99 and get a second dozen free, plus a free glass vase. That's 24 beautiful romantic roses for $39.99. That's an insane deal this close to Valentine's Day. But don't wait, because supplies are limited and this offer expires Friday. Schedule your order now for guaranteed Valentine's Day delivery. ProFlowers roses are rated best value by the Wall Street Journal and they're guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days. So visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and type in my password, Hartman, or call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. That's 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS and mention Hartman. Using my password always gets you a free glass vase and special deals. So go to the microphone on proflowers.com and enter my password, Hartman. That's with two N's. This offer expires Friday and prices will go up. So order today.
He's an outsider.
This is the demise of a civilization.
With an insider's perspective.
Demise of civilization? What are we talking about here?
Ron Reagan. Evenings, 6 to 8.
Well, no wonder Bernie Marcos is so upset.
Affording people a chance to unionize so that they could get better wages and benefits would be the death of America.
Ron Reagan.
Right after Randy Rhodes.
You've got to wonder about these titans of capitalism. You got to wonder what's going on in their head.
AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Discover the Everything Green Oregon Expo February 14th and 15th at the Oregon Convention Center. This family-friendly two-day expo has hands-on activities, interactive displays, eco-friendly prizes, and environmentally friendly cuisine. For more information, visit egoregon.com.
Al museo está al lado del parque. Al museo está al lado del parque. El museo está al lado del parque. El museo está al lado.
When you realize you're actually speaking in another language, you won't be able to stop. Experience the joy for yourself with a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. Call 1-800-509-9122. Developed around the way you naturally think and learn, Rosetta Stone guarantees that this proven program is the fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, the same way you learned your first language. And now you can get a free demo as our gift to you. With no translation, no boring drills, and no useless memorization, there's no way you won't enjoy learning a new language.
El museo está al lado del parque.
Try Rosetta Stone for free by calling 1-800-509-9122. 1-800-509-9122. For your free demo, call 1-800-509-9122.
Hi, I need an oil change. We don't do that, but we can rebuild your engine.
But I need an oil change.
Okay, we'll rotate your tires.
Getting what you need isn't always as easy as it should be. So it's nice to know that with Radio Shack's helpful advice and great selection of phones and plans, you'll get exactly what you're looking for.
Oh, you know what would look killer? Racing stripes.
Get the Samsung Rappel from AT&T free with qualifying new two-year agreement and messaging unlimited plan at Radio Shack.
Good through 2/14/09, subject to credit approval, $36 activation, $175 early termination fees. Restrictions apply.
I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Good girl.
Return the love to your pet this season at Petco's Show Your Love Valentine's Day event. Bring your pet Saturday, February 14th from 11 to 2 p.m. and take a Valentine's Day photo for just $5.95 plus tax. You'll receive a free Valentine's Day card and bandana while supplies last. All pets are welcome. For details, visit your local Petco, where the pets go.
The odds of a child performing at Carnegie Hall? 1 in 73,000. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. To learn the signs of autism, visit autismspeaks.org.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
That's what it's going to take, all of us working together. Welcome back to Tom Hartman Radio Program, your radio support group for We the People. Our brunch with Bernie, our Senator Bernie Sanders on the line with us from Washington, D.C., right there in the belly of the beast in the midst of the fight. And Bernie, any points you wanted to make before we go to the phone calls?
Nope, let's do it.
Okay, all righty. Here, Matt in Carson, Washington, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
How you doing, Tom?
Great. What's up?
I'd like to ask the Senator... what senators that we can call to tell them to get on board or get a new job here if they don't follow what we said. You know, the people have spoken. We don't want to hear what the Republicans have to say.
Well, Matt, that's a good question. I don't have them all in front of me. Some of the Democrats are Ben Nelson of Nebraska, Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas, let me see who else. There are a bunch of others.
These are the kind of the blue dog Democrats, as it were.
Well, these are the ones who are sitting down with the Republicans and negotiating. Here's the problem that you got, and it's a real problem. We got 58 votes if Senator Kennedy is able to be here, and I don't know if that's the case. So you do need Republican votes. The question is, when you have a president who won the election fighting on these issues, you have strong majority in the House, and they did a pretty good job in their bill. We shouldn't be sitting down just negotiating on equal terms with Republicans. We should be saying, okay, we want some Republicans. What do you guys need? And let's get two or three votes. But I think some people here just still have not understood the results of the election. The American people, as Matt said, what they voted for was change. They want to make sure that we create the millions of jobs that Obama was talking about. They want to make sure that we move away from fossil fuel and energy dependence. They want to make sure that our kids can afford to go to college. They want to make sure that our schools have the money that they need so that we're not laying off teachers, that we have enough cops and firemen out there to do their jobs. They want to make sure that people in America don't go hungry during the midst of this severe recession. And that's what the issue is. And it really does bother me that you have some Democrats sitting down talking about Republicans, how they're going to make all these cuts, which will mean that we're not going to create the kind of jobs that we need. We're not going to protect the American people in ways that we should be protecting them.
Evan in Boston, Massachusetts, you're on the line with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Senator Sanders. Great to talk to you.
You too.
I'm sure you've read the Collins Nelson staff report on the potential cuts that they're thinking about making in the bill.
Yes.
And I work at a USDA research facility in Boston, and even on the first page, they're proposing 100% cuts to replacement of modernization and upgrades in these facilities and further research in these facilities. And I just find it troubling that these cuts, they aren't even that big of dollar amounts compared to the billions that were taken as bonuses by Wall Street executives. $300 million for these research facilities isn't that much, and I was just wondering why that they need to compromise on these issues when there shouldn't be a compromise.
Well, that gets to the point we just talked about, Evan. We've got 58 votes if Senator Kennedy is able to vote, and I don't know if that's the case. They are filibustering, as they usually do. They want more in tax breaks. McCain offered some preposterous proposal the other day that would be just totally meaningless in terms of addressing the economic crisis that we're in, and I think almost every Republican voted for it. Evan, they were also wanting to cut back on special education. I think any person who works in a public school in America knows that the federal government made a promise that if schools mainstream their kids, if kids with disabilities are able to come into the classroom, federal government will put a certain amount of money into those schools to take care of those kids, which is often a very expensive proposition, especially with the rise of autism and so forth. Federal government has not kept its promise. Well, we're trying to do it. We talked in this bill about a substantial amount of money going in for special ed, and this so-called compromise wants to cut that. Here we have the highest rate of childhood poverty in the industrialized world. Any parent out there knows how difficult it is to get decent child care. The Head Start program, grossly underfunded for many, many years. We wanted to increase Head Start by some $2 billion. They want to cut back down to a $1 billion increase, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, what these guys are doing is they're going through a $900 billion program. And they say, oh, this is not perfect. Oh, why are we spending money over here? Well, you're never going to get a perfect program. But I think, by and large, what we have is a program which addresses so many of the unmet needs in America so that we don't have to lay off teachers and child care workers, and we can rebuild this country. And that's what this campaign was about. So, in fact, I'll be on the floor as soon as I possibly can just to speak about these issues. Barack Obama won this election on these issues. That's what the American people want, and we've got to keep faith with the American people and deliver the goods.
Bernie, in the 15 seconds or so we have left before I have to take a break, what do you think is going to happen with this bill?
I just learned a moment ago there's going to be a Democratic caucus within a couple of hours. We'll be discussing this, so we'll see what happens.
You're still optimistic?
We will see what happens, Tom.
Yeah.
I mean, something will be done. The question is whether it will be what we really need.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if they succeed in watering it down and it doesn't quite work, who's going to take the blame? It's remarkable. We're talking with Senator Bernie Sanders. He's taking your calls in our national town hall meeting, Brunch with Bernie. Sanders.Senate.gov, his website, TomHartmann.com for our free live chat room, and AirAmerica.com for a free live web video stream.
You're listening to Tom Hartmann. Call him now at 866-303-2270.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartmann. Tom Hartmann, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartmann nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station. AM 620 KPOJ.
Back to the program where smart people get their news, the Tom Hartmann Radio Program, our Brunch with Bernie Hour, our national town hall every Friday here with Senator Bernie Sanders taking your calls. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, TomHartmann.com for our live free chat, AirAmerica.com for our live free video stream. And Bernie, you're still here, right?
I am right here.
Okay. You sounded a little ragged, but I hope you're getting your vitamin C there. Mitchell in Bergen, New Jersey, you're on the air with Bernie Sanders.
Good afternoon. Senator, is it possible that any of the senators might vote no but not filibuster? And short of that, if there's going to be a filibuster, why doesn't the majority leader say, all right, listen, we're open 24-7 now. You want a filibuster? We're digging in on this one. And let President Obama use his bully pulpit. And, you know, with all the terrible numbers coming in, how long could they withstand something like that?
Well, Mitchell, that's a very good point. The answer is, to your first question, is no. These guys will not simply vote no. They want to make sure that we have to get 60 votes. That's how they managed to thwart progress. And last 2 years, when the Democrats were in the majority, they provoked 95 filibusters, I believe, which is an all-time world's record, and they're off and running again. I think your other point, though, is quite right, and I think you're probably going to see that. If we can't reach some kind of agreement very shortly, I suspect, sadly for me and for some others, we're going to be here this whole weekend. And that's the way it is, and that's the way it should be. This country faces a huge crisis. President Obama has got to be out there explaining how important it is that we create these jobs, explaining, as he does so very well, that tax breaks are not going to solve all of our problems. And just puncture the hole that he is so good at doing in this Republican mythology and trickle-down economic theory. But Mitchell is right. We have a crisis in this country. The American people want action, and we've got to stay here until we do it.
Yeah, on this show, Bernie, I've been calling for people to let Harry Reid know that we would like him to force a filibuster. I made a tongue-in-cheek comment day before yesterday on the air that people could buy smelling salts for, because every time the Republicans say filibuster, Harry Reid seems to faint, that they could buy smelling salts and send them to his office. And then somebody sent me a note saying smelling salts are ammonium carbonate, and the guy who blew up the Murrah building was using ammonium nitrate. And if you send something with ammonia in it to a senator, you may be in trouble. So let me tell my listeners, please don't send smelling salts to Harry Reid.
Don't send smelling salts. But what you can do is you can get on the phone, and you can tell those Republicans and anyone else that you want action, that the election was decisive and telling, should have been decisive in telling Congress the direction in which this country is going. So no smelling salts, but you can get on the phone.
Yeah, and I'm telling my people also to let Harry Reid know to back these guys down. But that's Robert in New York. You're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Yes, hi. Bernie, first of all, I would like to say that I really appreciate your outspoken rhetoric and conversation. My question is, do you think America really understands how we got into this financial dilemma? And before you answer that, though, I have tried to explain my opinion in a simple way, and I would like to say it and wonder if you agree and concur with it.
And that is?
It is, first of all, like I saw on the TV, a CEO spokesman was saying executive performance is rewarded with big profits. And my answer to that is, to make these big profits, they devised derivatives, which are bundled assets containing very risky assets, such as bad home loans. And by bundling, they were able to hide risky assets with good ones and then have them rated AAA by shady credit raters. Wall Street financial companies sold these risky bundles to banks and institutions,
I think we all know this,
around the world.
I think we all know the story, Robert.
Robert is touching on some of the main points as to how we got to where we are. The interesting question, Robert, is, was this simply reckless and irresponsible behavior with perverse incentives in there to make a lot of profit, drive up stocks, and get stock options for these CEOs and bonuses? Or did these guys at the top really know what they were doing, that they were selling worthless financial products? That's an interesting question. And there are some very serious people who believe these guys knew what they were doing, which case you're into the realm of criminal prosecution, which is something that I think we should be investigating.
Carol in Mesa, Arizona, listening on KPHX. You're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders. Carol.
Thank you. If I remember correctly, I don't know that the Republicans ever sat down and negotiated with the Democrats when the Republicans were in power, that I know of. When you go to the Democratic caucus, please tell them to get some spine and stand up to the cons. They were not elected in the majority. My main question is, who makes sure that there aren't any hidden little surprises that the Republicans have put in bills before? Don't let them slip in permanent elimination of estate tax and other sweetheart conservative-only benefits. Who makes sure that doesn't happen again?
Well, you got a whole lot of staff that does nothing else but read every amendment and every piece of every paragraph that comes into this thing. So I don't think we're going to see Republicans slipping and stuff. When they were in the power, when Tom DeLay had power, very often it was not uncommon where you would have literally a conference committee, and after the conference committee, he would inject some stuff in there for his wealthy friends or his corporate buddies. But the issue right now is we've got 58 votes, and depending on the health of Senator Kennedy, maybe 57 today. And how do we get the three votes that we need? How do the American people understand what this filibuster is about? How do we debunk the mythology of the Republicans who want to do more trickle-down economics, and how do we stand tall, which is what your callers are telling us. And I think Carol and Robert are both right. I think if we've got to stay here today and tomorrow and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, let's have this debate and let the American people get involved in it.
Yeah. David in Columbus, Ohio, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, I wanted to ask the senator if there had been any talk of somehow allowing people to get access to the money in their 401ks without encumbrances or penalty, because a lot of people, they're watching the savings disappear. And in some cases, that savings is enough to save, you know, that they could save themselves, you know, rather, and it would kind of be rotten for them to have to spend their savings, but at least they could fix themselves if they could get hold of it.
David, that's an interesting point, and I, to be honest with you, I'm not familiar if there has been discussion or not, but that is an interesting point. People have money in these tax-free accounts, and David is asking whether they should be allowed access to them. So I haven't heard that discussion, David, but that is an interesting idea.
Okay. Speaking of San Francisco, where Bernie Sanders will be on the 17th, co-sponsored in part by Green960.com, Dolores in San Francisco, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Oh, thank you. We're very excited. I'm a member of the First Unitarian Universalist Church on Franklin and Gary, and we're looking forward to having Bernie Sanders there. And I hope I can talk to you about something. And this is my question. When half of our tax dollars go to the military and the Pentagon for wars, and half of them are even off budget, and we know that the Pentagon is asking for a budget increase of $450 billion over the next 5 years, and right now it's over $500 billion, and like I say, 50% of every dollar goes to them. Why isn't there any movement in the Senate or the Congress to cut back on this ridiculous military spending?
Well, Dolores, you've asked an excellent question, and I can tell you that my office is working on that issue. There aren't a whole lot of offices that are. And the reason is, as I think you can suspect, is that anytime anyone thinks about going after the waste, the fraud, the abuse, the overspending, the unneeded weapon systems, you will be attacked in a 30-second ad by someone who says you are soft on terrorism.
It's the Max Cleland problem.
Yeah, and that's what we have to deal with. So I will tell you, though, there is enormous waste in the Pentagon. We have done in the last year or two, found out that the military, both in the Army and the Air Force, have huge amounts of spare parts that they're ordering these spare parts, they're storing these spare parts, they're giving away these spare parts because they don't need it. Mm-hmm. Talking about billions of dollars, not just the tip of the iceberg. So Dolores' point is absolutely right. This is an issue that has to be looked at. We need a strong defense, but while we go through every agency and look at waste and unneeded programs, certainly the Defense Department has got to be gone through and scrutinized as well.
Bernie, we have about 20 seconds left. We shipped either $8 or $12 billion in cash over to Iraq, an amount that could be seen from outer space. Most of it seems to have vanished. Is there going to be any effort to track down that money?
Well, as you know, there was a report that just came out recently. Huge waste in Iraq. Huge waste. And obviously, we should be tracking down that money, and we should be holding those people accountable who were part of that waste.
Yeah, this is just absolutely mind-boggling. And not to mention, you know, Halliburton now has moved to Dubai, and KBR is a Cayman Island company. All these companies, they're not even paying U.S. taxes, and we're shipping money out to them.
It's outrageous beyond belief.
Yeah. Senator Bernie Sanders, our national town hall meeting, taking your calls. We'll be right back with more of your calls for Senator Sanders. Check out his website at sanders.senate.gov. You can drop into our live chat room over at tomhartmann.com. And you can see our free live video stream over at airamerica.com. We'll be right back.
Visit hartmanradio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List.
Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should, too, today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth? It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KDOJ, 620KDOJ.com.
Worried about losing your home? Is your bank threatening to foreclose? Well, there's hope. Operation Hope, America's leading financial literacy and empowerment nonprofit. If you're facing mortgage payment challenges, we just may be able to help. Get free, reliable information and guidance by calling the Operation Hope Mortgage Hotline at 888-388-HOPE. That's 888-388-4673. Look, don't lose your home just because you didn't pick up the phone. Make that call today or visit us at operationhope.org.
What if I said you could erase your wrinkles, tighten your skin, and make frown lines disappear from view, all without surgery or injections? With all the creams you've tried, you're probably skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a free trial of a scientific breakthrough called Hydroxytone. Shed years from your appearance faster than you ever thought possible.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
Request your risk-free trial of this proven breakthrough today. The results are so impressive, Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of Hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-900-4211. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-900-4211. 1-800-900-4211.
Wouldn't you love to be a lucky parent who's proud of their child's grades? Well, now you can turn poor grades around to A's, even when they're failing. Call right now for a free copy of the Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call 1-888-502-4917.
Hello, I'm Dan Bass-Majan. During my 20 years as an educator, the kids with failing grades were sent to me. I discovered that bad grades don't come from bad or lazy kids. They come from kids who are overwhelmed by everything they have to learn. That's why I created The Simple Way to an A. This system shows kids how to learn and how to ace every test. It's so easy, your teenager will earn better grades in 30 days guaranteed and become the happy, confident kid you know they can be.
For a limited time, Dan is offering all parents a free copy of his Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call now so we can send them to you absolutely free. Call 888-502-4917. That's 888-502-4917. Once again, that's 888-502-4917.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Gotta go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you'd drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands there just like
my mother will start to work.
Beautiful.
Welcome back to Talk Radio for the sane among us. It's the Tom Hartman program. During the break, Bernie's I don't know, the aide, chief of staff, somebody came up and said they're going to start debating your amendment, Senator, in a minute or so here on the floor. So he literally had to pull off the headphones and go flying out of the room to head down to the floor of the Senate. This is his amendment that would make it illegal for companies getting of aid from the federal government in this new stimulus program to use that money
to bring in foreign workers. In other words, if we're going to give people jobs, they have to be American citizens who are getting the jobs, rather than the whole H-1B visa thing. And I'm sure you would much rather have him on the floor of the Senate defending that, as much as we all love having him here answering phone calls, than letting that go down in flames and staying here with us. So I will, obviously, I'm not Bernie, and I can't answer the questions about how the Senate works that he can answer, but I'm going to pick up the rest of the phone calls here. So Hannah in Los Angeles, and for the rest of the day, it's anything goes Friday. We'll be just basically, we'll talk about the news of the day and be taking your calls all day. Hey, Hannah, welcome to the show.
Hi, my name is Hannah.
Oh, hi. I'm
a registered nurse, and I just love Bernie Sanders putting a moratorium on the HB1 visas, because as a registered nurse, as you know, you're brainwashed into thinking there's a nursing shortage, and therefore you have to bring in these foreign nurses. Right. However, in California alone, there are 42,000 registered nurses. Their licenses are valid. They have 10 years of work experience or more. And they cannot get a job because they've been out of the workplace for 3 years or more. And that's the only reason why they're told they can't get a job.
You've got 42,000 unemployed nurses in California, and they're having to import nurses from the Philippines?
That's right.
It's all
that's
about wages, right. Isn't it, Hannah?
That is absolutely outrageous. And then I was out 5 years because I had childcare problems and I was in ill health, and I had the great good fortune to be hired by the biggest jail on earth. And now with this economic situation the way it is, this is why nurses drop out of the job market. They have childcare problems. They have health problems. And now I think there's a lot of nurses out there. I'm sure they're in the same boat I'm in, where I'm going to be the breadwinner of my family.
Mm.
That's why.
Yeah.
Stop the HB1 visa nurses from coming into the country. That is wrong.
Yep. As the father of a daughter who is in nursing school right now, I absolutely agree.
Hey.
And, you know, it really hits home. But it's you know, we've been seeing this for the longest time. The companies, when they can't offshore jobs, then they bring people into this country to work cheap. And it's just so wrong. Hannah, thanks so much for your call and for your comment. It's so spot on. Bob in Phoenix, Arizona. By the way, I had a listener correct me. I had said KPHX. I'm just used to saying that. That used to be the call letters for our Phoenix, Arizona affiliate. They moved on up. They got a bigger station with a better signal. And it's no longer that call letters. It's now 1190 Nova M. And thanks for Cindy and who listens on that stream. And Bob in Phoenix, who's listening to that station. Hey, Bob, you're on the air.
Hey, yeah, and I can listen to it after dark now, too. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's much better.
I had to sell my house in a distressed market. So I sold it. I owned the house outright. So I sold it with zero interest for the first 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
3% for the next 5 years. And then I'll be 80 years old, and I'm going to be paid out. So they're going to have a lot of equity at the end of 10 years.
Yeah.
But then I found out from the accountant that I have to pay tax on interest, whether I collect it or not. And the government has set the rate at 4.35%.
Whoa. That's bizarre.
And you can see how easy it would be for anybody to get in trouble with their income taxes if I hadn't had an accountant. And I talked to other accountants that said, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
And they were wrong.
Yeah, this whole
and
tax
I
thing
was going to ask if, do I, what options do I have? I'd really like to fight it, but
yeah. Well, you need to get a good tax lawyer or a CPA, you know, to start.
Well, then, tax lawyer would cost me more than it's worth.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Every time I've had some kind of a, I haven't had that many in my life, but well, with businesses we've had a few, but we always had a CPA with most of our businesses. And the tax law is so complex in the United States that if you do it yourself, you do it at great risk. And you're absolutely right. It is so easy to screw these things up. I've done it several times in my life, and I guess, therefore, I wouldn't qualify for a cabinet appointment. And come on.
That came in with Reaganomics, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this change in the tax law where they could nail you for
interest
that you don't
pay? That particular rule came in under Reaganomics.
Yeah, Reagan, this is the thing. Thank you, Bob. You know, Ronald Reagan... Everybody says, oh, Ronald Reagan, he was all about cutting taxes. The fact of the matter is he passed this massive tax cut for the rich in 1981, dropping the top marginal tax rate, the tax rate on people earning more than $3.2 million a year, from 74% down to 27%. And it threw the economy into such a tailspin that whenever anybody talks about how bad things are right now, they say it's as bad as it's been since 82. 82 was the year after that tax cut. That's how bad things got. And so in 82, what Reagan did is he instituted the biggest tax increase in the entire history of the United States. And all of that tax increase hit people making less than $50,000 a year. He doubled the FICA tax. And then he started borrowing the money from that Social Security Trust Fund that was created by that. That being the baby boomer generation being the first generation in the history of Social Security to not only pay for their parents' retirement, but for their own. He borrowed from that double taxation of the baby boomers in order to make it look like his budget deficit wasn't as bad as it was, when in fact it was even worse. And then every single year for the rest of his presidency, Reagan raised taxes. He raised taxes in 83, he raised taxes in 84, he raised taxes in 85, and 86, 87, and 88. Every single year, Reagan raised taxes. And then George Herbert Walker Bush ran on a campaign of no more taxes, read my lips, and he raised taxes every year. So, you know, this whole mythology of Ronald Reagan, it is a lie. And the taxes that they were raising were these little gotcha taxes that, by and large, throughout the Bush and Reagan administrations, hit the middle class and working people. And they kept those tax cuts, the Reagan tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires, they kept those in place. Thus, today's bubble economy.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you in the second hour of our program. Marlboro, Vermont, and Brattleboro, Vermont, following on our Brunch with Bernie segment. Bernie had nothing to do with this, but these two towns have passed symbolic articles, unfortunately symbolic, which raises the whole Vince Bugliosi thing about will prosecutors around the country now begin bringing articles of, indictments for murder against George W. Bush. If somebody in their town or their county, if it's a county prosecutor, or their state, if it's a state, I guess it would be the attorney general. Although I don't know if they prosecute murder at the state level. I think typically, well, in any case, will local officials begin bringing murder charges against Bush if somebody in their jurisdiction died in the Iraq War? But these two towns, Marlboro and Brattleboro, Vermont, they both passed these symbolic articles to arrest both Bush and Cheney if they ever came to their towns. And the American Museum of Fly Fishing, Think Progress is reporting this, the American Museum of Fly Fishing in Manchester, this is approximately 50 miles from the two towns, is planning to honor Dick Cheney at its annual dinner next month. However, they are now re-examining their decision because it's come under fire from conservationists. You know, from Ted Williams of Fly Rod and Reel magazine, who broke the story, said, "Can there be a better choice than traditional practitioner Dick Cheney, the man who trashed the Endangered Species Act, who virtually canceled the Clean Air and Clean Waters Act, who suppressed science, who ruined the lives of dedicated resource professionals, and who ran Christine Todd Whitman out of the BPA?" Bush, by the way, never once visited Vermont during his presidency, and Cheney only once stopped in Burlington. That was in 2002. So I think they ought to go ahead and give him the award just so that these towns can send some police over to arrest him. It would be a great drama. It would be great drama. Karl Rove's testimony, by the way, before Conyers Committee, has been moved back 3 weeks, apparently because the Justice Department may be looking into him. The plot thickens. Stay tuned. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Trey in Detroit, Michigan. Hey, Trey, what's up?
Hiya, Tom. Sorry for the quality of this call. I was calling back and forth on two phones hoping to get in while Senator Sanders was still on. Speaking of the lessons we should have learned in the last 15 years, what the hell is a stimulus program? What the hell is a stimulus package? We should be calling it a what?
Jobs bill.
A jobs bill. And if we can get back to him and everybody can get to their senators, that's a message we ought to be selling.
Yeah. I had that conversation with Bernie off the air before we started the show.
Oh, okay, great.
And he's reluctant to criticize the Obama administration. I think, you know, any Democratic, and Bernie's not a Democrat, but I think, you know, anybody who wishes the Obamas well right now is trying to, you know, go soft on criticizing them. That's my job, frankly. But
yep.
He certainly gets it. I mean, you know, I think they all get it. And increasingly, if you saw the soundbite last night from yesterday morning, I guess it was, Obama did a press conference. And he referred to it as, you know, this is going to create jobs. This is going to create. He used the phrase create jobs like a dozen times. So I think, you know, either somebody in the Obama administration is listening to this show or common sense prevailed, one or the other. But, Trey, you are so right to call it a stimulus package. That's what George Bush was calling the bank bailout bill, or to call it a bailout, or to call it the Economic Recovery Act. I mean, come on, give me a break. If you want to talk to working class people, tell them it's a working bill. It's for jobs. If you want to talk to people who are worried about jobs, tell them it's about jobs. Chris in San Ramon. Hey, Chris, what's up?
Thank you, Tom. Hey, I am speaking of all the illegal stuff that went on a while ago about this administration. I wanted to ask Senator Sanders, but you'll probably know some of this. Do you know where we stand as far as the NSA's continued? Are they still violating our Fourth Amendment rights? And
yes, because it's legal.
It's legal.
The FISA Act that, in my opinion, and in the opinion of most of at least the progressive constitutional scholars, you know, Jonathan Turley and others, is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. That FISA bill is the FISA bill that Barack Obama famously voted for during the campaign, as you'll recall. So, yeah, they're still listening in.
The current version, not the 1978 version.
That's right. The current version allows them to continue doing this stuff.
That's my understanding.
I may be wrong. So, you know, if I am, please correct me, and I'll check the chat room. You know, people there are very good about tracking this stuff down really fast. But the objections to the current version of the FISA bill that passed in 2008 was that it continued to allow the NSA to engage in some of their most egregious violations of the Fourth Amendment and made it harder to prosecute the people, you know, specifically Bush and Cheney and General Hayden, the former director of the NSA, for previous violations.
So that's not likely to change.
I don't know. You know, it's a lot. I was speculating at the time that this was something that Obama did to avoid being Max Clelandized, you know, which is what Bernie talked about in the last hour, how if you vote against the Pentagon, then some Republican will run against you and run ads, you know, morphing your. Well, the ads that Saxby Chambliss ran didn't morph Cleland's face into Osama bin Laden. They simply showed them in the same ad, which in most people's unconscious mind has the same consequence. But, you know, that's what they'll do. And so my guess was at the time that the reason Obama voted for it is because he didn't want the Republicans to have it as something to beat the bejesus out of him with during the campaign. And as a political strategy, it was probably the right political thing to do. Hopefully it will be corrected.
You can't play politics with the Constitution. That's absurd.
I agree. And if you want to get elected president of the United States, you got to play politics. And the Republicans are perfectly willing to shred the Constitution. And, well, you know, yeah, I'm a purist. I stand with you. I condemned Obama for making that vote. And I said at the time, please don't make that vote. And after he did the vote, I said this was wrong and he shouldn't have done it. You know, all that said, had he voted against it, he might not be president of the United States right now. So flip a coin. But
well,
The tough thing, though, is are they going to be able to repeal it? Are they going to be able to change it? And you know, that's something we're just going to, you know, there are other things on the priority list right now, like keeping us from sliding into the second Republican Great Depression, although I would submit to you that we are already there. Chris, thanks for raising the topic, though. By the way, apropos of that, I read a lot of economics websites. And one of the things that I'm finding really fascinating right now on many of the sites that deal not just with macroeconomics but also investment strategy and those kind of things, where, you know, people are talking, you know, what should you do for investment, is that several of them are suggesting that there will be a summer and early fall bounce in the stock market, that things right across the board, from the price of equities, things like gold and oil, to stocks, will go up over the next 6 months. And they're talking about, you know, these are buying opportunities now. I'm not recommending this, by the way. I'm just sharing with you an observation. I think it's fascinating. And then in the fall, because this stimulus package won't be big enough, because there are hundreds of trillions of dollars worth of trash still out there in the derivatives market, which have not been unraveled and have not been resolved. And because it has not been made illegal to do this, and they're continuing to sell these toxic assets, et cetera, et cetera, and not to mention the debt and everything else, that in the fall we will slide back even worse than we are now, and the market will crash really badly. I don't know. You know, I'm just reporting what I'm seeing as a growing kind of semi-consensus among, oddly enough, some of these sites are very progressive and some of these sites are very conservative. And some of them are very agnostic politically, but there's a whole variety of them out there, and I find it fascinating, the speculation that's going on right now. Greg in Mesa, Arizona. Hey, Greg, what's on your mind?
Hey there, Tom. Happy Friday.
Thank you. The same to you.
In regards to the job bill, stimulus package, I was just wondering if the nuclear option might be something that could be considered.
The reason why the Democrats don't want to pull the plug on or don't want to invoke the nuclear option, and the reason why the Republican threat to do so during the was it the Alito confirmation or the Roberts one? I think it was the Alito confirmation. Why the Republicans were unwilling ultimately to do it is because things go around. You know, eventually the party that's the majority is going to be the minority party, and they want to still have the ability to filibuster, basically. And that rule has served the Senate well for a long time, and the Senate does think of themselves as the more cautious and deliberative body. So I would put the probability of Harry Reid, who won't even call a filibuster, at invoking the nuclear option at a -1%.
This is Tom Hartman.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
And now, another reason to switch to Geico.
Every month, we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like Geico's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. Geico.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. "I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon, and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday." And my personal favorite, "Easy Squeezy Lemon Peasy."
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Experience it and win with Tempur-Pedic. If you've been waiting for the absolute best time to try a life-changing Tempur-Pedic Swedish sleep system, this is it. Visit a participating retail store today and get your game piece for a chance to win $10,000 just for trying a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Simply call, click, or visit a participating retailer near you today to find out how. Call 1-800-433-2720 or visit Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. That's 1-800-433-2720 or Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. For official rules, go to www.experienceitandwin.com. Contest ends 3-809. Offer void where prohibited.
Carl Wolfson and friends.
Let's get to Joe the plumber. He's covering the war in Israel.
6 to 9.
You're not going
to
believe what he said.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think journalists should be anywhere allowed war. And if you're going to sit there and say, well, look at this atrocity, well, you don't know the full story behind it half the time.
Yeah, you know, we should just take what the Pentagon says. No atrocities. You know, that's just war.
It's Carl Wolfson.
I think he's one of those people that had his 5 minutes of fame and now thinks he's really smart.
I kind of lean that he's an idiot.
Morning 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hey, there's gotta be a way, and you'll find it here. Easy to get to, Mattress Factory Outlet near Vancouver's Mall. Store opens 7 days. Our warehouse is loaded. The Tempur-Pedic truck got here. You can rest here now on a new Tempur-Pedic. Plus, get a chance to win $10,000. Join our Simmons Beauty Rest Mismatch Mattress Mania with rock-bottom prices on the good stuff only here. Bring your discount coupon or get one in our store. Hundreds of beauty rests, all less than the chain stores. How about a new Simmons Beauty Rest Mismatch Queen Set for only $3.99. No sales tax, we pay. King Mismatch Beauty Rest Set, $6.99. There's more. Every size, luxury level, all at mismatch prices. Spend $5.99, get free delivery and setup. $4.99, two fresh new free pillows. No sales tax, check our website. Better sleep for less. Phone 360-260-2222.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from the weather.
I am the weather!
Oh, yeah, I've seen you on the news.
But you must fear me!
I'm afraid I don't. See, my Ford is ready for anything.
No car can withstand the wrath of weather!
Mine can.
What? What do you mean?
Yeah, Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers offer the Works Fuel Saver Package. And besides a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil and filter change and tire rotation, it's a complete check of belts and hoses, fluid levels, tires, brakes.
Oh, yeah? How about a little rain? Or a lot?
Now, Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers have a special low price on wiper blades.
Whoa! Kind of knocked the wind right out of me.
Oh, sorry.
The Works Fuel Saver Package is just $29.95 or less after $10 mail-in rebate. Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. Come in, keep going. Taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See your participating dealership for rebate details or visit genuineservice.com for 33109.
Dodge announces Employee Pricing Plus. Now everyone gets our employee price, plus generous cash allowances on most 09 models. Plus, qualified buyers can get low APR financing through Chrysler Financial. Get to your local Dodge dealer today.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows, anything goes.
Anything goes Friday. You pick the topic, we'll riff on it.
New better words now.
I caught you doing something right alert for the day. It's always so nice to catch people doing things right. This is the town of Trent, New Jersey. They have, actually, it's the state Supreme Court. The state Supreme Court in New Jersey. I guess the town of Trent, New Jersey, is the caught you doing something wrong. This town had passed a law saying that it was illegal for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers to bring out into public their 10-foot inflatable rat, which is, you know, their way of signaling a labor dispute. And the Supreme Court for the state of New Jersey has ruled that this was actually free speech, that a 10-foot inflatable rat being carried around by a union is free speech. So good on the Supreme Court for the state of New Jersey. Good on you. Thanks a lot. Tim in South Bend, Indiana. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. Hey, you know, I wanted to comment. I haven't heard anyone say this, but I believe Dick Cheney's fear-mongering speeches are really a plan to scare the Democrats away from investigations and prosecutions of him as a war criminal.
It may well be. Dick Cheney is a terrorist. Quote me on it.
Yeah.
Dick Cheney and George W. Bush, but Dick Cheney in particular, Dick Cheney is a terrorist. He is trying to terrorize the American people. He is using the threat of death by violence as a tool of political you know, as a tool to accomplish a political end. That is terrorism. Dick Cheney is a terrorist, and frankly, the statements that he made the other day were simply untrue. The lie he told, Keith Oldman did a great job of calling him out on this. Was it last night or the night before? And the guy's a terrorist, Dick Cheney, and he needs to be labeled as such. We need to acknowledge that he's a terrorist. He needs to be investigated for his actions as a terrorist during the time that he was president. I want to know, for example, during the 2004 election, every time John Kerry went up in the polls, and Tom Ridge talked about this, by the way, on, I think it was the David Letterman show, it might have been Jay Leno, but I'm pretty sure it was David Letterman, after he left office as the head of the Department of Homeland Security. And he said, and what Tom Ridge said was he didn't know why this happened. It wasn't his decision. Every time John Kerry went up in the polls, there was suddenly, every time John Kerry got a good story, he got some mojo going in the press, there was suddenly an increase in the terror alert. Now, in my opinion, that was either Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, or both. If that can be proved, and I believe that it can easily be proved, these guys should be brought up on charges of terrorism. If a woman who tells a flight attendant, who tells her, there's a story of this flight attendant who comes up to a woman who's got a loud kid and says, you know, get control of your kid, or words to that effect, and the woman tells the flight attendant something very impolite. Obscene and impolite. And the flight attendant has the woman arrested. Many of you have probably seen this story, and it's one of several, actually. And that woman is prosecuted as a terrorist under the Patriot Act. She was successfully prosecuted as a terrorist. There have been a half a dozen cases like this in the United States where people have been prosecuted under the Patriot Act as terrorists for behaving in ways towards flight crews that they certainly should be prosecuted for, perhaps civil litigation, perhaps sue them, throw them in jail for 30 days. But as a terrorist, if that can happen, then certainly Karl Rove and Dick Cheney can be brought up on terrorism charges, in my humble opinion. Mario in Los Angeles, listening on K-Talk. Hey, Mario.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call. 2 days ago, Tom, Wednesday, February 4th of this year, 2009, Rudy Giuliani called into the Joe Scarborough radio show and told Joe Scarborough that in order for the Republicans to have any political capital, the economic stimulus plan has got to fail. Yep. He said if the economic stimulus plan succeeds, then Republicans will have no political capital, but if it fails, then Republicans will have political capital. And I feel that Rudy Giuliani pretty much speaks for all the Republicans in Congress. What do you think, Tom?
I agree. I think that I don't think that this has to do with ideology. I think this has to do with the Republicans being willing to sacrifice the country, being willing to destroy the lives of another couple million Americans. And we're looking at a half a million Americans just in the last month, destroy the lives of millions of people in order to get and keep power. Keep in mind, this was the party, Mario. This was the party that went to war on a lie and knew it. I mean, we all knew it. It was called out in the Downing Street minutes. These memos came out, and we knew. There was a broad consensus. The Hans Blix, the United Nations, was out there saying, there's nothing. There's nothing. I mean, after the fact, he was reflecting on it.
You know, in the Middle Ages, when people were convinced there were witches, and then they looked for them, they certainly found them.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Oh, you know, Saddam Hussein, he's got weapons of mass destruction. It's in the same category as believing that that witches are causing bad things to happen. I mean, it's come on, give me a break. And a tip of the hat to our modern day Wiccans and witches out there. I mean, this is so wrong. And this is the party that is willing to create 5 million orphans, 4.5 million displaced people, the death of a million innocent civilians, non-combatants, people who had nothing to, they just wanted to live their lives. This is the party that was willing to kill a million people to hold political power. And now they're willing to destroy millions of American lives to hold political power. And Rudy Giuliani was the guy who told the truth about it, I suppose to his credit, but wow.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Call him now at 866-303-2270.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Towards the window, crushed out a cigarette, but then he faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. But no when to hold him, no when to fold him.
And it looks like Ken Salazar knows when to fold him. Tip of the hat to Christensen, who sent me this from the New York Times. Thank you very much. And this, Ken Salazar, our new Interior Secretary. Oh, isn't that nice? I mean, after go all the way back to James Watt. Remember James Watt, Ronald Reagan's Interior Secretary, who said that we should sell off all of our national assets as quickly as possible so his friends can get incredibly rich and destroy all of our national parks because Jesus is coming again and he's going to make all things new? So Ken Salazar now, we have a rational Interior Secretary, and we had a couple of rational Interior Secretaries during the Clinton administration, too, I mean, not to dismiss that. But basically, for the last 28 years, it's been insanity, with that singular exception of 8 years of sanity there. Ken Salazar's first major decision to cancel oil and gas leases on 77 parcels of public land in Utah could not have sent, writes the New York Times, could not have sent a clearer signal that his department is under new management. It also was a strong indication that the Obama administration intends to take a more measured approach to energy exploration on public lands than its predecessors' drill now, drill anywhere policies, which are now a thing of the past. Good on you, Ken Salazar. What a great choice. Nancy in Oak Lawn, Illinois. Hey, Nancy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I wanted to, first of all, tell you about Rachel Maddow last night had a guy on, Will Bunch. He wrote a book about Reagan, Tear Down This Myth.
Yes, in fact, I saw that, and my comment to Louise was, we got to get that guy in the air. I want to read that book.
Right, so exactly.
Yeah.
Myself also.
I've been waiting for somebody to write that book.
Honestly, yeah, somebody to just speak out and say, you know, this guy doesn't, they always joke about Obama, you know, being, you know, everybody puts him on a pedestal. Talk about being put on a pedestal.
Oh, it's not just that. There was a conscious effort, and it started in the first years of the Clinton administration. There was, maybe even during the Bush administration, Will Bunch, I'm sure, has it nailed in his book, Tear Down This Pedestal. There was this thing called the Reagan Legacy Project. And they reinvented Ronald Reagan. And
he did mention that last night.
Yeah, and it's a classic example. You know, we play the Everything You Know Is Wrong thing, you know, that little clip from the Firesign Theater. Well, everything you know about Ronald Reagan probably actually is wrong. I mean, they literally reinvented him. And then
right.
The Republican Party turned him into a god to the point where you could see those debates where, you know, clip after clip after clip of all the Republican candidates going, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan.
Right.
Oh, man.
And also, they also had a little statistic on the screen about how pork has been mentioned more in the last 2 weeks, you know, regarding the stimulus package and everything, than it has, I don't know how much of a percent, I think four times more than it had been mentioned, you know, previously to this.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, when are these guys going to, and when is somebody going to speak up about all these Republicans who are out there now outraged over the money that we're spending and why none of them spoke up when we were throwing away money on this illegal war that we're having?
Yeah, you know, they're all.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on
right.
In here.
Democrats.
But here's the commentary, though, Nancy. The important thing that is missing from that commentary, and it was pointed out several times on MSNBC last night and has been on other programs, that yes, in fact, the word pork is all over the media if you do LexisNexis searches on it. And it wasn't during the Bush administration when they were ladling out pork by the 55-gallon drum.
Right.
But the problem isn't that Republicans are out there saying pork. The problem is that the corporate media is giving them the platform. You have 2-1 Republicans over Democrats showing up on the weekend shows and right across the board on cable news. 2-1 Republicans over Democrats. Now, that was the case a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. That's the case for the last 8 years. And when the media was confronted about that over the last 8 years, they said, well, the Republican Party's in power. So, of course, you know, everybody wants to hear from the seat of power.
Right.
They want to hear what the power, what the mighty and the powerful have to say. They have the ability to change the world and influence legislation. So it's only appropriate that we cover what they're doing. Well, they're out of power now. Why are they still getting 2-1
right.
coverage? Because the corporate media and the Republicans are in the same bed.
And that's the other thing. Why don't the Democrats start referring to tax cuts as deficits, that they never did get tax cuts, that all they did was run up our debt?
That's right. There was, starting with Reagan, there has not been a single tax cut. There has been a tax transfer from the current generation to the future generations.
That's what frustrates me, is why don't the Democrats speak up? I don't get it. I
think many of them are. You know, Peter DeFazio is on our morning show here on KPOJ all the time. He's on the national show from time to time. Bernie's speaking up. There's a lot of them who are speaking up. And the problem is the corporate media doesn't cover them. Nancy, it's the classic, you know, the old cliche of if a tree falls in the forest, nobody hears it. Did it make a sound? If a Democrat complains about the Republican policies and it never gets covered by the media, was there a complaint about the Republican policies? In the mind of most Americans, no. And we have a major problem with corporate media in the United States not wanting, frankly, the message to get out and doing everything they can to sabotage the media that does get the message out. And, you know, time will tell how this all plays out. And I've spoken out against the Republican strawman version of the Fairness Doctrine. But I do think that programming in the public interest and using the Sherman Antitrust Act are two things that should be considered. Morgan in Charlottesville, Virginia, listening on WVAX. Hey, Morgan, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Two things very briefly. One, thank you very much. I took your advice recently, and I just started to advertise my home-based practice on my local progressive radio station here in Charlottesville,
mm-hmm.
WVAX, and I'm doing very well.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. Morgan.
I want to put a word out there. Anyone?
What is your business, by the way? Give it a plug.
Oh, wait, thank you, Tom. I am a licensed animal intuitive. I help people with their pets' health issues and any type of behavioral issues, anything from potty training to anxiety and anything along those lines.
I need to hook you up with Higgins.
Okay.
So...
I'll stay on the line and I can give your screen to my business number.
All righty, I'll do that. I'll put you on hold. So Morgan, that's not what you called about, right?
No, I have another comment. I don't mean to frighten our audience out here, Tom, but I think there's a much deeper and much more sinister thing at work here with these obstructionist / Republicans. Like Naomi Klein had written, I really think they don't want to just bring another Great Depression. I sincerely believe, unfortunately, that they want to actually crash our economy totally in the basement.
And then blame it on Obama.
Excuse me?
And then blame it on Obama.
They want a two-class system here. They just want slave labor or serfs.
Yep.
And
I'm telling you, they saw this coming. This was no surprise. This was no surprise to people at the levels of high finance. This was no surprise to the people at the top of the Republican Party that this crash was coming. They thought they could postpone it until January. They thought that they could put it off until there was a strong Democratic Congress and a Democratic Senate. They saw that coming, too. And they figured in all probability they'd have a Democratic president. And they were going to drop this in his lap, and they thought that they were going to turn Barack Obama into Herbert Hoover. And now they're trying to do it, and they just couldn't keep their fingers in the dike long enough. And so now what they're having to do is blow the thing up, and they've got a huge choir, you know, out there in the Savages and Limbaughs and Hannitys of the world, and it's time for us all to be pushing back. Hey, Morgan, actually, Higgins, you know, Higgins attacks people when they come into the house that he doesn't know. He's just always done that. He was he had a pretty weird upbringing in a frat house where they raised him with a pit bull and used to throw him against the wall and stuff. But
oh,
with me,
goodness.
He follows me around like a dog. He sits on my lap. He sits on my shoulders when I'm writing. He purrs constantly. He's really sweet to his family. It seems to me like he's actually fairly well adjusted given his upbringing. What do you think?
I agree. He's very protective of you.
Yeah.
He's extremely protective of you and your family. I actually have some more things, but I don't want to take up your time on the air because I know you have a lot of people. But, I mean, I can talk to your screener afterwards.
Okay. All right, Morgan.
If you want me to stay on the line. There was one other thing, though.
Sure.
Our friend, Joe Scarborough.
Yeah.
The other day I had to put that show off. He actually started into a rant saying that our Social Security system and everything that goes along with it is a Ponzi scam.
Oh, man.
That's
an insurance policy. Is every insurance policy in the country a Ponzi scheme?
According to him, yes.
See, this is, Joe Scarborough, every now and then he tries to come across as a moderate, but the guy is a right-wing Republican.
Yes,
sir. A right-wing partisan. And I don't know how Mika Brzezinski puts up with him every day. I just, you know, she's got to be... Man, maybe she's taking Prozac or something.
Well, she does take Ambien, I know.
If I was her, I would have such a hard time not strangling that guy, you know, metaphorically anyway. Morgan, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. Great to hear from you. And I will put you on hold so that our call screener can get your information, your contact information, at least your email address. I'd love to talk to you about your pet intuitive business, and thanks for advertising on WVAX there in Charlottesville. It is, you know, it really is true. Our advertisers on Progressive Talk Radio get incredible results. We'll be right back.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Provider and licensing details are available.
If this is your paycheck and this is your debt, what are your options? File bankruptcy and tread water the next 7 years? Or make a call for Care One Credit Counseling Services and start getting out of debt today? A Care One Credit Counseling Agency can help you get immediate relief from stress caused by debt, and you'll have one lower monthly payment instead of the pile you have right now. Call a Care One agent today, and you can start saving hundreds of dollars in fees and interest payments. Care One agencies have helped over 4 million people get out of debt, and they can help you too. Call 800-498-2983, 800-498-2983, and find out how you can lower your monthly payments up to 57%. One 15-minute phone call can change your life. Call 800-498-2983, 800-498-2983.
Ed Schultz.
The landscape of talk in this country, in my opinion, is changing somewhat.
Noon to 3.
It's becoming, okay, what's the issue? Here's what we know. Nobody's got any money, and nobody's paying their taxes. Those are two things we know that's happening out there that we can talk about.
He's Big Eddie.
The Ed Schultz Show.
Now, what side of the aisle are you on? It doesn't matter.
Noon to 3.
Look, you're either paying or you're not paying. You know, you either got money or you don't.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Online, 620KPOJ.com.
Do you know why you get dark circles under your eyes? Because blood leaks out of your capillaries and pools under your skin. I'm not kidding. It's just like an ugly bruise. But now you can erase dark circles with a proven breakthrough called Hydralyze. Hydralyze diminishes dark circles and tightens puffiness and bags by repairing leaky capillaries, leaving you with younger, brighter eyes. See for yourself by calling for a free trial right now. Just call 1-800-993-1669.
My husband, he can't stop complimenting me. People tell me I look 10 years younger.
Even surgery cannot deliver these stunning results. Hydralyze is so powerful it even helps build new collagen in the skin, reducing crow's feet and wrinkles. Try Hydralyze risk-free and see for yourself.
Well, I used it and, wow, the dark circles are gone. I don't look tired anymore. I feel great.
You deserve younger, brighter eyes. Call now for your free trial of Hydralyze and experience the transformation for yourself. For your free trial, call 1-800-993-1669. That's 1-800-993-1669.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch?
This month at Floor Trends Northwest in Sellwood, when you schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, you also get a gift certificate good for lunch at either Hawthorne Fish House Southeast or Corbett Fish House Southwest. Now's the time to start planning for your spring home improvement projects. Schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, tile, hardwood, or carpet, by calling 503-236-8775 or visit floortrendsnw.com. Hey, Carl Wolfson here. Thanks to KPOJ listeners, last month, Eyes on Broadway collected dozens of pairs of eyeglasses that will be distributed in March when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru to perform eye exams. If it's been more than a year since you've had your eyes checked, call Eyes on Broadway today at 503-284-2300 to schedule an appointment. Eyes on Broadway is a proud supporter of Progressive Radio, which is just one reason why I've been a loyal patient for 8 years. Call 284-2300 or visit eyesonbroadway.com.
This is Sam Waterston. Shriners Hospitals for Children is a one-of-a-kind healthcare system providing pediatric specialty care to kids with orthopedic conditions, burns, spinal cord injuries, and more, all at no charge. This world-class care is combined with innovative research and outstanding teaching programs that support Shriners Hospitals in their mission of helping children realize their dreams. Call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners Hospitals for Children, helping kids defy the odds.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Just a quick update. I'll be February 26th and 27th in Washington, D.C. for the CPAC Radio Row. That's Conservative Political Action Committee. On the 7th of March, that's a Saturday in Seattle, we will be on a three-hour cruise. Yes, we actually are taking a three-hour cruise. With me, Louise, and the folks from Talk 1090. Noon to 3 aboard the Royal Argosy in Seattle. You can get information about that at AM 1090 Seattle. On March 19th, Thursday, I will be debating Michael Medved in Chicago. This is sponsored by ChicagoProgressiveTalk.com, our progressive affiliate in Chicago. And on May 1st and 2nd, Friday and Saturday, actually it'll be May 2nd on Saturday, I am giving one of the keynote addresses at the Green Festival in Denver, Colorado. So be sure to drop by there. Green Festivals. That's plural.org/Denver for more information on that. Here's the latest information apropos of our conversation just a moment ago. Think Progress is compiling this information. They just posted it on their website at thinkprogress.org. For the last 4 days, this is just the last 3 days, from 6 a.m. on Monday until 11 p.m. yesterday. So that's just this week. On CNBC, there were 14 Republicans, and there were 6 Democrats. On CNN, there were 5. Now, was this appearances? Yeah, these are specific appearances by lawmakers specific to this whole debate on the stimulus/jobs package. There were 5 on CNN, 5 Republicans, 3 Democrats. On FNC, Fox News Channel, there were 24 Republicans and 13 Democrats. On Fox Business Channel, FBN, there were 22 Republicans, if I'm reading these graphs right, and about 4 Democrats. And the only network that inverted that was MSNBC, which had, looks like, 12 or 13 Republicans to around 17 or 18 Democrats. But basically, it was a 2-to-1 ratio across the board on cable news 2-1 Republicans to Democrats. And people wonder why it is that the American public is starting to echo the ultra-right-wing, bizarro Republican talking points. There's why. Alan in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, listening on WINS. Hey, Alan, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Tom? I just had a quick comment about the economy. I'm 31 years old. I have no college education. I'm a high school graduate. And I've looked at the economy quite a bit. I just do a lot of research. And it becomes clear rather quickly that you can't it's not a Democratic thing. It's not a Republican thing. That's a whole smokescreen. It doesn't matter what party's in there. You can't fix a crisis of excess with more debt. It's
right.
The way our system is set up. It's not that you're designed to have recessions. You need periods of recalibration, if you want to call it that. You need the markets to correct themselves. That's what recessions
are
for.
That's not what this is. That's not what, you know, Alan, you're right. There are you know, ebbs and flows in economic cycles that are normal and that happen in any economy historically. But that's not what this is. What we're looking at is the consequence of a massive fraud perpetrated on the American people. And structural anomalies is the wrong word, because they really go back to the 17th, 18th, and 19th century Europe. Structural systems put into place to prevent a middle class from emerging, to destroy the existing middle class, and to create a class of working poor and wealthy, period. A two-class system rather than a three-class system.
I don't disagree with that. Bankers, the government are a lot to blame for this. People that shouldn't have been taking homes, bankers that shouldn't have been giving loans.
No, it's not about either one of those, really. I mean, you know, that should have been going on, but that's not why there's $900 trillion in derivatives out there based on about $1 trillion worth of real estate. It's because, and Bill Seidman laid this out just absolutely brilliantly. You can find his YouTube talk in Grand Rapids. It's a six-part series, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, I think it is. In any case, Bill Seidman, it's IED. He's the former head of the Resolution Trust Corporation, the group that resolved the problem with the SNLs, and he's a Republican.
Right, but what they leave out with the SNLs is the fact that the government took over bad loans from failed institutions. That's not what they're doing now. They're propping up banks that are literally insolvent. If you have the government telling these huge banks what they can and cannot do, that's nationalization by another name.
Well, it's badly done nationalization. See, I'm arguing that we should have real nationalization, that we should do it like Sweden did. When Sweden's banks got into trouble about 15, 20 years ago, they went and they said, okay, fine. Rather than letting this bank crash and burn and take its depositors down with it, the bank is worth nothing now. Its stock is worth nothing. If the government doesn't intervene, it goes into bankruptcy. So we're going to buy that stock for, you know, a penny on the dollar, for a penny a share, whatever it is, you know, whatever it was trade. They bought all
the stock. The stockholders are out, the bondholders are out, and the government guarantees the deposits. That's what they should do, and that's what
correct.
They're not doing.
That's
so
correct.
it's not a party thing. It's you can't. My whole big thing is it's Occam's razor, the most logical answer, or the clearest answer is the most logical one usually.
Right,
you
and the clear answer here is that we have a structural problem, B, a mind-boggling amount of fraud, and you're right. You know, the simple way to do this is to just take these banks down, break them up, and when the government can run them profitably, sell them back into the private sector.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Our third hour, Anything Goes Friday, 863-0322-70. Our telephone number, TomHartman.com for our live free chat room, AirAmerica.com for a live free video stream. Barack Obama talking to the press.
Americans who need our help. I'm sure that at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, members of the Senate are reading these same numbers this morning. And I hope they share my sense of urgency and draw the same unmistakable conclusion. The situation could not be more serious. These numbers demand action. It is inexcusable and irresponsible for any of us to get bogged down in distraction, delay, or politics as usual while millions of Americans are being put out of work.
Well said. And the number, of course, that he's talking about is this mind-boggling number of people who have been, you know, dumped, who've lost their jobs. I mean, it is absolutely incredible. Over a half a million people in 1 month, 598,000 jobs vanished just in the month of January. You know, the last month of the Bush administration, 598,000 jobs in both manufacturing and services. Barack Obama calling out, and good on him for it, calling out the Republicans on this. But they're not going to stop. They're absolutely not going to stop. John McCain is running as if he's running a political campaign. He's trying to be the leader of the loyal opposition. We're going to solve this problem with tax cuts. Tax cuts have never done anything other than tax cuts on the rich producing bubble economies. It's just that simple. And you look at those nations that are not experiencing crash and burn scenarios right now, and they're the nations where the rich are paying over 50% in taxes after they make $2-3 million a year. That's after they make $2 or $3 million a year. First $2 or $3 million a year, no, you don't pay 70% taxes on that. You pay the same, you know, you pay 20, 30, 40, whatever it may be, 10, 15. It is the graduated tax system. I mean, on the first $10,000 that a millionaire earns, they probably pay no taxes at all. Just like somebody who makes $10,000 a year pays no taxes at all, income tax at all. It's a graduated system. I get these bizarre emails from Limbaugh listeners saying,
"You're saying roll back the Reagan tax cuts, and how dare you suggest that I should be paying 70% income tax, 74% income tax?"
And I'm like, "Oh, really? You're making more than $3.2 million?" And you're worried about the 3rd million? I mean, it is the level of misinformation and ignorance out there is mind-boggling. And it has been fostered by 28 years of the Republican spin machine and the corporate media handmaidens associated with them. And it goes right back to Ronald Reagan's ending the Sherman Antitrust Act, Bill Clinton signing the Telecommunications Act of 1996, and the Republican think tanks that were funded in the 1970s by Joe Coors and his little band of multi-billionaire buddies to make sure that the interests of the rich in the United States are put above all else. Period. And to try to cause Americans, average Americans, to think, working men and women, to think that their interests are somehow the same as the interests of Richard Mellon Scaife. They're not. Is it Satish in Minneapolis? Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, this is.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. Long-time listener, but first-time caller.
Thank you.
My question is three-part. The first one is, you know, we go about taking care of other nations' debts and forgiving them. Why can't we do the same with ours? Second, Ron Paul or Dennis Kucinich at one time had put in the legislation to repeal the...
Can I deal with these one at a time here, Satish?
Okay, sure.
Number one, very rarely do we forgive the debts of other nations. And when we usually do it, it's not just the U.S., it's the IMF, the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. And we do it with enormous strings. We say to them, as we said to Chile, for example, privatize your social security system. As we said to Bolivia and, as I recall, and Ecuador, do away with your social safety nets. And increasingly countries are saying to us, tough. You know, we don't care if you forgive our debts or not. We're not going to pay you because they want to have countries that function. We have been inflicting on countries around the world for the last 25, 30 years. Milton Friedmanomics, Friedrich von Mises, you know, this whole school of you know, what's come to be referred to as the Chicago School of Economics, this bizarre right-wing economic ideology, Reaganomics, Thatcheronomics, and it has destroyed a lot of countries. And it's destroyed a lot of people's lives, and increasingly the world's saying no thank you. So, by and large, we don't forgive other countries' debt, and when we do, we get a pound of flesh for it. So I'm not sure, you know, in terms of forgiving our debt, you're talking about the $10 trillion that was run up by Reagan, Bush, and Bush?
Right. It's a $10 trillion, and then which is projected to be somewhere around $55 or $56 trillion. So that kind of, you know, segues me into the second question, and that is, why can't the Federal Reserve Act be repealed, which actually was introduced a couple of years ago, but then was kind of beaten down? Why can't we do that? You know, repeal that, and then, you know, I suppose there's a backout clause in Section 30 that I've heard. I'm not sure if you could probably elaborate on that. Now, why can't we just buy back, repeal it, and then going back to reissuing our own notes?
We can, and I think we should. And Dennis Kucinich, in fact, has either talked about or actually introduced legislation to do just that. And I would guess that probably Ron Paul would join him in it. And in fact, I'm quite sure he would. I think, and I've been saying on this program for years, that what we should do, the Federal Reserve, most people, again, most Americans don't realize that the Federal Reserve is neither federal nor does it have any reserves. The Federal Reserve Bank is a private bank that is owned by its member banks and the stockholders in those member banks who are looking for a return on their investment. The Federal Reserve has, it generates mind-boggling profits. The Federal Reserve has, you know, the fractional reserve system was put into place in 1913 under some rather dubious circumstances, and that in and of itself is a whole other story, with the hope that it would stop us from having these wild boom and bust periods that we'd had for 120 years at that time, particularly after the panic of 1896, and there was another panic in 1907, I think, a mini panic in 1908, right around the end of Teddy Roosevelt's term. And, you know, that's how that thing got in. And, in fact, it didn't stop the Great Depression. And it hasn't solved any problems. And B, we do issue, actually, you know, the Constitution says that our government, our Treasury Department, shall mint our coins. And our coins are actually minted by our government. And they are the only money that our government issues that is actually U.S. money. On our quarters, on our dimes, on our pennies, on our nickels, on our half dollars, on our silver dollars, that's actual U.S. government currency. It's a tiny amount of money, but that's actually U.S.
government. Isn't it true that there's only 3% of the actual currency that is truly physical in nature and in circulation, and 97% is electronic?
I would be surprised if it was even 3%. Particularly given the amount of money worldwide, the number of dollars worldwide that are used for the international oil trade, since oil is the primary currency that it's denominated in, and so many of these derivatives were denominated in dollars that ran through the Bank of International Settlements. They're talking about $1,000 trillion worth of derivatives over the last 10 years. But the simple solution, or it's not so simple, but the solution, I think, is to have our federal government say the Federal Reserve should be the property of we the people. We will buy it from its stockholders at fair value price, whatever that is, you know, determine what the value of it is, buy it from the stockholders, and put it under the Treasury Department and go back to coining our own currency. And, by the way, Canada did that. They have the equivalent of a Fed. They did that for a couple of years, and then there was all this pressure from the banking industry and from the people who make all the money on fractional banking to reverse it, and it was kind of quietly reversed, and they went back to a Fed system. You gotta remember, we're talking about dealing with people who are making billions, in some cases dealing with trillions of dollars. They have enormous political power.
Exactly true. And then, you know, the one other question that I had, the last one was, this is something I've heard, but I don't know if there's any, provide any claims to justify it. But apparently, President Kennedy had actually repealed the act and had paid back the Federal Reserve.
No, he did not. That's a you can. I would imagine that probably over at Snopes, that's debunked. That is a popular conspiracy theory that is that, you know, and some many conspiracy theories are actually true, but that's one that's not. Kennedy did not privatize or did not nationalize, rather, the Fed. And to the best of my knowledge, never even seriously talked about it. So, you know, that's one of the things that falls into the rubric of reasons why JFK was assassinated. He was assassinated because he and his brother took on the mob in a big way. And the mob bit back, to put it in a nutshell. And so, anyhow, 866-303-2270. We'll be back with more of your calls on Anything Goes Friday right after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should, too, today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
What is wrong with this man, Michael Steele?
Randy Rhodes.
First of all, he told congressional Republicans the goose egg that you laid on the president's desk was just beautiful. And then he attacked Democrats for being the obstructionist.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
And the only thing worse than stupidity is being proud of your stupidity.
3 to 6.
And the only thing worse than being proud about your stupidity is being proud and hypocritical about your stupidity.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
Hey, there's gotta be a way, and you'll find it here. Easy to get to, Mattress Factory Outlet near Vancouver's Mall. Store opens 7 days. Our warehouse is loaded. The Tempur-Pedic truck got here. You can rest here now on a new Tempur-Pedic. Plus, get a chance to win $10,000. Join our Simmons Beauty Rest Mismatch Mattress Mania with rock-bottom prices on the good stuff only here. Bring your discount coupon or get one in our store. Hundreds of beauty rests, all less than the chain stores. How about a new Simmons Beauty Rest Mismatch Queen Set for only $3.99. No sales tax, we pay. King Mismatch Beauty Rest Set, $6.99. There's more. Every size, luxury level, all at mismatch prices. Spend $5.99, get free delivery and setup. $4.99, two fresh new free pillows. No sales tax, check our website. Better sleep for less. Phone 360-260-2222.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-6475. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better, debt-free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information. For the secret that credit card companies don't want you to know, call 1-800-400-6475. That's 1-800-400-6475. 1-800-400-6475.
Dodge announces Employee Pricing Plus Plus. Now everyone gets our employee price, plus generous cash allowances on most 09 models. Plus, qualified buyers can get low APR financing through Chrysler Financial. Get to your local Dodge dealer today.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
It's Anything Goes Friday. Tom Harkin here with you. Hey, Tom Harkin, the Iowa senator, has come out and endorsed Howard Dean to head up the Department of Health and Human Services. This is my scream for Dean, you know, my one-man campaign. I think he'd do a great job. Yes, Howard Dean has not come out and said he's in favor of single-payer health care. I don't think that any politician who has said that could pass, frankly, could pass the Senate nominating process. This is a we have to understand the real politic of this world. But Howard Dean has in the past made statements to me and to others that at least have caused me to believe that he understands the situation well enough to know that ultimately that's where we need to end up, and that there is a route there, and that the route there doesn't begin by starting out saying, yep, this is where we're going to end up, because that's political suicide. And therefore, you know, he's smart enough to do it and to get in there and to do the job. And here's Tom Harkin endorsing him. And good on Tom Harkin. You know, congratulations to you. And thank you very much for that. Where's my caught you doing something right here? There it is, right there. Jolly good fellow Tom Harkin. So, enough of that. 866-303-2270, our phone number. And Doug in Portland. Hey, Doug, what's up?
Speaking of national health care, that's exactly what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I'll tell you a real quick story. My dad retired back to Canada with my mom because he said we're one heart attack away from financial disaster. And sure enough, last year he had some heart surgery. And, he had heart surgery, was in hospital for 3 weeks, surgery plus two air flights there and back, no bill, zero.
He's a Canadian citizen?
He is a Canadian citizen. A month later, my mom fell and broke her hip. Surgery, a couple months in the hospital. She's still in rehab. No bill.
Right.
Is this the time that we can talk about it, or are there such financial... I mean, we're at the abyss of a depression. Can we talk about that now, or is that something we have to put on the back
burner? I think we absolutely must. I think that having a... And I've said this on this program many times. In fact, we devoted an hour to it a couple days ago, and it's threaded throughout the entire week, that if you really want to have an economic stimulus package, have Medicare for all right now. Have a national health care program immediately, a national single-payer health care system available to all Americans. That will stimulate the economy in all kinds of ways. It will empower and encourage people right now who are freaked out and terrified because they're unemployed to go out and start entrepreneurial ventures because they don't have to worry about, you know, what's going to happen. It will empower people who are working, who are in dead-end jobs, who are working for large corporations, simply to get the health care, to quit their job and go out and start an entrepreneurial venture. I mean, this is the entrepreneurial spirit in America was fueled by fearlessness. And that fearlessness was fueled right up until the last 20 years or so when the big transnational corporations basically took over this country. That fearlessness was fueled by two things. One, we had strong bankruptcy laws. Henry Ford declared bankruptcy 7 times. If you failed, you could pick yourself up and start all over again and try again, number one. And number two, our bankruptcy law. Number two, the fact that health care was cheap. You know, the businesses that I owned back in the 70s, we offered health care to our employees. And my recollection is it cost me $30 or $40 per employee per month. It was cheap because the health insurance companies had to be not-for-profit because the hospitals were owned by the counties. And you know, had to be not-for-profit because it hadn't gotten in the hands of the for-profit bloodsuckers, frankly. There's no other, you know, the Bill Frists of the world. They're you know, it's a terrible pun, but they are bloodsuckers. They are sucking the blood out, not just out of us, but out of the American economy. You are so right, Doug. And
I am a healthcare worker myself, and it almost seems like we should have a red light in front of the hospital, like a whorehouse, saying, here's where the business is. Come on in.
There you go. There you go. Doug, well said. Thank you very much for the call. Great to hear from you. I appreciate it. Bill in Portland. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hey, Tom. This is just a rhetorical question, I guess. If the Congress were to pass and the president were to sign legislation tomorrow saying Islam was the state religion, would you call it a law? Tom?
I would call it unconstitutional.
Well, here's what I'm getting at. You know, FISA, some of the provisions of the FISA bills, the provisions of the Patriot Act, they're clear violations of the Constitution. They're
I agree. I have said so many times. I agree.
Well, a little earlier in your program, you called them laws. I'm saying, no, this is just unconstitutional legislation signed by a president. Please do not refer to them as laws. They're not laws. They have no legitimacy.
Well, you know, I think, I think we're splitting hairs. The question, Bill, is how do we get them reversed, isn't it?
Well, I think you start out by having every American ever mention them calling those unconstitutional bills, that unconstitutional legislation. Why are we giving it any credence?
But that would imply in people's minds that they hadn't actually been enacted into law. I mean, if the police show up at your house and drag you off as a result of something in the Patriot Act that you and I both agree is unconstitutional, do you think that they're going to pay any attention to you when you say that's not a law?
No, I don't, but I'll tell you right now, and I'll say this over the air, I will do nothing to support any efforts by the police to enforce any unconstitutional laws, number one, Number two, there are a whole lot of federal agents out there that are violating their constitutional oath. I would argue that both the Congress, the president that signed the legislation, and these federal agents out there, in fact, are in violation of the Constitution, and you know, these are like the equivalent of felony crimes against this country.
I absolutely agree with you, Bill. I absolutely agree with you, and I've been saying that for a long, long time, that George W. Bush, Bush kept saying when he was president that his first job was to protect the American people. That is not in the Constitution. His oath of office says that his job is to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And he not only failed that, he did the reverse of that.
This is Tom Hartman. Call Tom.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman. Nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station. AM 620 KPOJ.
Yeah, I do.
Tommy, can you see me? Can I help to cheer you? Ooh, Tommy, 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 Tommy.
All right, I got
Tommy,
it.
Can you hear me?
Thank you, Louise. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And
baby, I'm crazy.
A new job for George W. Bush. Well, Kyle Walters, you know, somebody needs to let him know a little bit of background here. He's the owner and CEO of Elliott's Hardware, a local Dallas hardware store. And he noted that George W. Bush is unemployed, and so he has appealed to former President George W. Bush to spend his newfound retirement working as a part-time greeter at their Maple Avenue store. "Our greeters are a legendary part of our customer service," said Kyle Walters, the Elliott Hardware's president and CEO, "and we are offering this position to Mr. Bush in all sincerity. We think it would be a great fit for him as he settles back into life in Dallas. If he chooses to take the position, he'll enjoy company perks such as a flexible part-time schedule to allow travel to Crawford, a parking space, and an employee discount." Now, here's the problem, and sorry to let you know this, Kyle Walters, but George W. Bush has never succeeded at any job he's ever had. He ran Arbusto Oil. He ran it into the ground. He had to be bailed out by a half-brother of Osama bin Laden when his oil company went down in flames. When he ran the Dallas Rangers, the Texas Rangers, he ran a bat, you know, trading off Sammy Sosa. I mean, he has never done anything successful in his life. He didn't run successfully for the House of Representatives. As governor, the governor of Texas has virtually no power. It's one of those odd states where basically all the power is in the legislature. And so he basically was just sat in his rocking chair. And as president of the United States, he screwed up the country. So I would warn you, I would suggest, you know, respectfully and friendly, that this is not a guy that you want to hire at your store. Not at all. It's, if anything, the opposite. Keith in Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Keith, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. How you doing today?
Just great, but I'll get better.
Okay, very cute about George Bush there. I got a question. I even wrote it out. Walk me through your thinking. Given your take on the derivative situation you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Number one, what does this president need to do step by step? And number two, what is he able to do that he isn't doing?
Well, with regard to the derivatives, he needs to Let me back up just a little bit here. Derivatives are financial instruments that were created by and large out of nothing. You know, there used to be these credit default swaps where you could bet that, you know, and they had some value. They're the equivalent of buying title insurance. You know, when you buy a house and they say, do you want, you know, for an extra $500, you can get title insurance or $100 or whatever it is. And what it means is that if it turns out that you don't actually own the house, that there's a problem with the title, that like five owners before you, you know, some surveyor screwed it up and half your backyard actually belongs to your neighbor, that the insurance company will reimburse you.
Okay, assuming he knows that.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, there's these kind of insurance programs that make a certain amount of sense. And credit default swaps were basically insurance. That made a certain amount of sense. When these things started being traded in the 1990s, in the mid-1990s, or actually back in the, no, it was in the 1980s during the Reagan administration, they were invented by Bill Seidman. He invented them. He invented these derivatives. He invented them as a way to sell off some of the assets that were associated with the failed savings and loans. And, in fact, after the next break, I'll play a couple of clips of Bill Seidman talking about this so you can get the whole backstory on this thing. When he invented them, he went to Ronald Reagan and to Alan Greenspan and said, we need to regulate these things. And Greenspan said, no, they shouldn't be regulated. This is going to be an opportunity for us to prove that a true laissez-faire market, a true unregulated market, will actually work. That you've got intelligent buyers, intelligent sellers, a sophisticated marketplace, will prove how wonderful this is going to be. And Seidman, all the way up till a couple of months ago, when he gave the speech that I'll share some of the clips with you after the next break, he was saying these things should be regulated. So the first thing that needs to happen is we need to pass rules, and this could be done by executive order, I believe, that say that the Securities and Exchange Commission has the power to regulate credit default swaps and all other forms of derivatives that are traded nationally or internationally through the United States, or
the
that originate within the United States. The SEC, right.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. The SEC under George Bush was a joke. Hopefully Barack Obama can turn it into an actual functioning agency. So that's number one. And then number two, you know, all these you know, derivatives that are out there that are being sat on by banks all over the world, that's what everybody's really freaking out about. That's what they're not going to tell you on television, because it's really far worse than anybody has imagined.
In other words, and they're basically worthless.
They by and large, are. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And some of them will simply unravel, because some of them, they're the equivalents of puts or calls. You know, they're the kind of thing where you say, okay, I'm going to, you know, buy a stock at 20 and I'm going to buy a put at 19. So if, you know, if it goes down, I'll still make some money, but it doesn't go down. And so you let the put expire. And
right. So if you have the president's ear right now, what do you tell him to do?
I tell him to, with regard to specific, the narrow thing that you asked about with regard to derivatives, is to regulate derivatives by the SEC, step one.
Yeah,
Step two is you want to increase the amount of money in the hands of working people, because that's the source of all demand. So you raise the minimum wage by at least $1.50 immediately, because it's about $2 below where it was in the 1960s right now, inflation adjusted. So you raise it by at least $1.50 or $2 immediately. Number three, you pass the Employee Free Choice Act immediately to give workers more say in the workplace. And number four, you change the law so that it is illegal to compensate senior executives, particularly CEOs, with stock. Instead, they have to take a paycheck. That's going to cause them to start behaving in ways where they're thinking in the best interest of the company rather than thinking like stockholders who are actually gamblers. And that's one of the big problems. And again, that was a change in the rules that happened under Reagan. You know, it used to be that CEOs, it used to be before Reagan came in, that if you were paid more than $3.2 million, you got hit with a 74% income tax. So nobody took more than $3.2 million in today's dollars. And CEO pay was on average about 30 times the average working person.
Okay, so
Reagan did it.
Yeah, excuse me. If he does these things, you think he's going to be able to finish out his term, or do you think he's going to be in danger immediately, and he's going to be able to do absolutely nothing? What can he do realistically, politically, assuming that he knows what you're talking about.
I think, you know, and I think he may. I know that some of his advisors do. I mean, Robert Reich knows these things, for example. There are some of his advisors who get this stuff. I don't think Larry Summers does.
Yeah, so he's in a double bind, a triple bind.
He is. And it will be very difficult politically. And the only way he can do this is to take a lesson from Franklin Roosevelt and call these guys out. He's got to start calling them economic royalists or the equivalent of it. He's got to start naming names. He's got to come up with a name for them. He's got to package this thing. He's got to brand it. He's got to do it the way Reagan did, basically, with trickle-down economics.
He's got the brains to do it. I hope he has the character.
Yeah, I agree. Well said, Keith.
Okay,
thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Stephen in Hollywood. Hey, Stephen, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I heard your segment with Mark Miller yesterday, Tyranny of Bad Ideas, and there's one really bad idea that, and you touched on it in your last with some of your callers today, and that's the misconception that the tax cuts that started with Reagan and trickle-down economics have helped the rich. And if you, and I have places if you want, either on or off, I could give you websites to go to. But basically, if you tease out the top one-fifth of 1% who made $1 million a year or more in by 2000, you'll find that those people making 50 to 500,000, which is the top 28% of the population, actually had tax increases over the period from the 76 to 2000. So they have actually been bringing in politicians and funding politicians who have been giving this rhetoric that the tax cuts help them, when in fact they've been stabbed in the back. And yet they are still, after 8 years of these terrible results of tax cuts under Bush, they are still allowing the Republicans to come up with this straw dog that they have to have tax cuts that skew
you're absolutely right. And they continue to assert the tax cuts somehow help the economy. And you can go all the way back to 1913 and prove the tax cuts actually hurt the economy when they're tax cuts on the very, very wealthy. Here's Bill Seidman talking about inventing tranches and securitization.
The subprime mortgage market grew in a way that is almost impossible to believe. There were almost 2 million subprime mortgages written in a year and a half. That means somebody had to finance a couple million homes, almost, of subprime mortgages. So why did anybody put their money in this? Why would anybody, knowing that these people, subprime means that they are not prime? Well, the genesis of that goes back to something called securitization and something called tranched, credit-rated securitization. Now, that was invented by one of the people who were operating in the RTC, and namely, it was invented by me and our group.
It was invented by me and our group. And right after the break, it's just a short clip. I'll give you a clip about what happened after he invented these tranches during the Reagan administration. So this is how recent all this stuff is. This all came out of Reaganomics. What happened when he issued the warning flag? We'll be right back.
Watch live video of the Tom Hartman Program at HartmanRadio.com. Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Training. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
He's an outsider.
This is the demise of a civilization.
With an insider's perspective.
Demise of civilization? What are we talking about here?
Ron Reagan, evenings 6 to 8.
Well, no wonder Bernie Marcos is so upset. Affording people the chance to unionize so that they could get better wages and benefits would be the death of America.
Ron Reagan, right after Randy Rhodes.
You've got to wonder about these titans of capitalism. You got to wonder what's going on in their head.
AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Remember that time on Friends when Joey finally got a steady job on a soap opera? To celebrate, he surprised Chandler with a pair of leather recliners set right in front of their big screen TV. Chandler's reaction? Sweet mother of all that is good and pure. Do your chairs excite you that much? They will if you shop at a Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery. Because unlike those vintage TV chairs, today's Lazy Boy recliners come in over 70 uniquely designed and ridiculously comfortable styles, from cool contemporary to cozy traditional looks. Unlike cheap imitations, Lazy Boy recliners are built to last, with patented designs for full body and lumbar support. Experience all that is good and pure at a Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery. Six stores in Portland and Salem, online at lazyboyportland.com. Lazy Boy. You're home now. Put your feet up.
Is your computer running slowly? Does it take more than 3 seconds for your email to load? Are you getting pop-ups? How about spam? Well, if you're experiencing any of these symptoms, your computer and your privacy are at risk. Because these are the telltale signs of a virus. It'll only get worse until you act. Get a free diagnosis at mycleanpc.com and optimize your PC.
I got the free diagnosis. And now my computer is lightning fast.
My computer never crashes anymore.
Talk about optimization. My computer isn't even this fast at work.
MyCleanPC.com will remove spyware, viruses, and virus-infected emails, all while optimizing your PC performance. It's all-in-one protection, and it's been raved about by USA Today and Computer World. The diagnosis is free. Just log on to MyCleanPC.com. Even if you have antivirus software, your computer could still be infected. Find out instantly with a free comprehensive diagnosis at MyCleanPC.com. If your computer is running slowly or you're still getting pop-ups, you need to get your free diagnosis from MyCleanPC.com. That's MyCleanPC.com.
Just hang on a little longer. Your investments will come back.
Sound familiar? Or worse, your advisor hasn't even called. I'm Bill Meyer, president of Strategic Group, a Portland investment advisor firm. If you want an advisor that provides more than just a buy and hope approach to investing and have $500,000 of investable assets or a free consultation, call now, 503-222-9737.
Real people, real results, Strategic Group.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
What a wonderful world.
Hey, thanks so much to Louise Hartman, to my producer Sean Taylor, to Stephanie Whiteland, Shelley Osterberger, Marcus Hillman, Michael McDonald, all the folks at Air America, Justin Ewan today, to Sue Nethercutt and the folks in our chat room, and Mike Toth, who does our audio archives, to Alva Goldbook, who's doing our video archives on our website, to our affiliates, our sponsors, and to you for listening. And some news about Leon Panetta. I want to talk with Victoria Jones about that in just a minute. But I want to finish up this William Seidman. He's the guy that was put in charge of unraveling the savings and loan debacle when $500 billion worth of SNLs went down. We essentially nationalized them, and he fixed the problem. But in the process, he invented this tranche securitization. He invented these derivatives. And he talks about, you know, exactly what happened when that went on.
I remember when we invented this, Alan Greenspan said, well, this is a great new innovation because we are spreading the risk all over the world, which, of course, is what we did, and for which, at this point, the world is to say the least, blaming the whole financial crisis we're in on us.
And he comes right out and says, I invented these things. I tried to get Greenspan to regulate them. I tried to get the SEC involved, at least the Fed. He continues.
It was proposed that their regulation or at least disclosure be required. And the industry fought it, and the Federal Reserve under Alan Greenspan vehemently opposed. And they made the argument, which you hear all the time, and I can remember Alan and saying, look, these are sophisticated contracts between knowledgeable buyers and knowledgeable sellers. No regulator can do as well as they'll do. So what do you need a regulator for? The market will regulate these. And he won the day. So among the list of our friends, along with me and others, Alan was clearly, I'd say, the key person responsible for the fact that we didn't even know how many of those contracts there were.
There you go. And he goes on to say, and this is just to wrap it up very short and very quickly.
We have gone clearly into the worst financial panic that we have had since the Great Depression. Some ways it's worse because it's much more complicated. And our financial system and most of the rest of the world now has a non-functioning, frozen financial infrastructure.
And you can thank Alan Greenspan, Ronald Reagan, Reaganomics, Phil Graham, all these right-wing cranks who are today trying to bust up everything in Congress for that. Victoria Jones with the Talk Radio News Service on the line with us, talkradionews.com. Victoria, good morning or afternoon or whatever it is, wherever you are. Victoria?
Good Friday, yes. Good afternoon.
Happy Friday. I see that Leon Panetta had made kind of an offhand remark last week or earlier in the week about how we're not going to render people to third countries for torture the way the Bush administration did. He has not yet been confirmed, and so he's got to walk on eggshells with the Republicans.
Yes.
And he got some blowback for that.
Yes, he did. Today he formally retracted the statement where he said that they had transferred prisoners for the purpose of torture. And he said, quote, I am not aware of the validity of those claims. So he didn't say that it wasn't true. Of course, he hasn't seen any material saying whether it's true or not. He says, I am not aware of the validity of those claims. But he definitely walked back from that.
Yeah, but I thought it was great that he said it in the first place. This validates my belief that Leon Panetta is going to make a great CIA chief. So
about 50% of the CIA chiefs have come from outside the agency, and so experts who've sort of talked about this, whatever an expert on the CIA is, have said that about 50% of them have made great chiefs.
Yeah. So, you know, time will tell. But I tip my hat to Mr. Panetta for that. What else is going on in the world?
Well, he also said in the same interview with the AP that the Obama administration will not prosecute CIA officers who participated in harsh interrogations. He said that is official policy. That is the case.
Right. But when they ask him if instead they would prosecute people like John Yoo or George W. Bush or Donald Rumsfeld, he said, that's kind of above my pay grade. That's not my job to determine, right?
I'll leave that for others, he said.
Yes. In other words, that goes to the Justice Department. Ask Mr. Holder.
Right. He moved away from that one, most definitely.
Yeah.
He moved away from that one.
So how goes the stimulus? Last we heard on the so-called stimulus bill, that should be called a jobs bill. Bernie Sanders was on the show earlier, and he had to rush back to the floor because his amendment that would forbid companies getting this federal money from using it to bring in H-1B visa foreign workers was to be debated. Any idea what happened with that, and what's the latest on this bill? Where's it going?
I don't know what happened with that, but Senator Olympia Snowe says that she's been approached by Majority Leader Harry Reid to come up with a list of items to be trimmed from the $275 billion-plus tax section of the stimulus. She serves on the Finance Committee. So this is separate from the $80 billion-plus package of spending cuts. This is for the tax cuts. So So she's going to work on this. She's issued a statement on this, that she will be working on this. So this is something that more liberal people might be quite pleased with, because they would like to see some of the tax cuts cut.
Yeah, well, the fact of the matter is that Maine is a fairly liberal state. They have two Republican senators, Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins, but they're both fairly, I'm reluctant to call them liberal, but because they're Republicans, but they're reasonable, decent people.
So they are still working on this. He would like to see a vote today.
Yeah, great. Okay. Victoria Jones of the Talk Radio News Service, Talk Radio News. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
Coming up Monday, Carrie Lucas with the Independent Women's Forum. We're going to talk about the stimulus package and S-CHIP. Plus, what's Ralph Nader up to these days? He's going to drop by and share his thoughts with us on all things American and, you know, economic and everything else. Don't forget, my friends, activism begins with you. Let your elected representatives know what you're thinking. Tag, you're it. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.